You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This is Diane Clark, host of the Walking with Jesus radio show that airs Sundays at 10:30 a.m., Wednesdays at 1 p.m., and Fridays at midnight. Join us as we focus on faith and resting in God's presence, and let His peace guide us through the storms in life. That's Walking with Jesus with Diane Clark on WCNO.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Are you glad? Aren't you grateful that Jesus made a way for us, church? That we are on a new covenant, church? That we are on a new one of grace? That God says, oh Lord, I'm glad you won't kick us to the curb because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. But this text is to remind us, don't take God for granted.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss the consequences of rebellion against God. We're going to pick up with Pastor Bernard as he describes the portion of the text when God is reflecting on his relationship with Israel when they were obedient to him. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of Israel's hostility faces some holy heat, part two.
Well, he's emphasizing that there was a time that you were like luscious grapes to me, Israel. And you write a reference down, Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, we see God courting Israel. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. He's going to have a private little oasis with her, if you will, and speak comfortably unto her. Now, in my day, you know what we call that? We got our rap on. I don't know if you guys talk that way. We were smoother than Casanova. We begin to come up with the right words and share our heartfelt feelings. Well, God says, I'm going to woo her. I'm going to court her. I love her. I am so elated about her. Verse 15 of Hosea 2. Verse 15 of Hosea chapter 2, and I will give her her vineyards from thence and from the valley of Achor, a door of hope, and she shall sing there. Remember those days, and you couldn't even hold a note, but you would sing about your woman. You would sing about that guy. Remember that? They brought joy. You would sing. As in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. So again, God is fondly remembering the days when Israel was faithful and what I call fruity to him. They were faithful and they were fruity to God. In other words, they were productive and they were a blessing. They were ripe and rich with fellowship and love and appreciation. There was evidence that demonstrated that they loved their God. There was evidence that demonstrated that they were loyal to Him. There was a time when Israel was, oh, Israel, you're something else. Something special. Again, like those luscious grapes found in the wilderness. But then we come with this three-letter word in the text that usually means transition, say, uh-oh. And when you see the word B-U-T, but, second half of verse 10. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they love Israel, sin, and idolatry. See, what happened, and we can write the note down, Numbers chapter 25, Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 to 3, and Numbers 25, Israel is connected and identified with a catastrophic sin of sexual immorality and idolatry. I'm going to read it real quickly for you. Numbers 25, verses 1 to 3. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord kindled against Israel. What we find in Hosea goes back to an event that happened in Moses' day. And it's mentioned in this text in Hosea because Hosea wants you to chronologically see the pattern of unfaithfulness, the pattern of idolatry in the nation of Israel. In Hosea's day, they had also defiled themselves by making Baal her lover. And like that generation at Peor in Numbers, Israel again was engaging in fertility rites and acts of false worship that they should have never, ever engaged in. And they had become one. You know how the Bible says a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one? Israel left God and began to cleave with the false God. And she became one with her false God. You know, one of the consequences of rebellion, and I want you to get this, is that when you rebel, you no longer resemble. You no longer reflect a loving relationship with God. You no longer reflect the image of God when we are in rebellion. See, when you're in rebellion, you become like the God that you're loving and that you're serving. When you're in rebellion, it's no longer represent the Lord Jesus Christ, you're representing that other guy. You're no longer reflecting the Savior, but you're reflecting that other guy, Satan. That's what rebellion does. It reflects, wait a minute, I thought that was a Christian. I thought they loved the Lord. What happened to them? They don't even look the same. Did you know rebellion has physiological effects on you as well? When you're in rebellion, you're not, mentally you don't think right, you're not processing right. Physically, your body get impacted, and you guys know there are specific practices that will invite certain kind of physical repercussions when you rebel against the Holy God. There is no peace. I personally remember a time in my life as a college student at Syracuse University when I had went through the Bible more than once, two or three times, and I said, I read the book, yeah. I don't need to do anything else. I stopped going to Bible study. I stopped going to church because I thought I knew everything. What does the Bible say? Pride come before destruction, a Holy Spirit before a fall. And I'm personally transparent with you, let you know that all of us can be subject to some rebellion. Do you hear me? And let me tell you, I was the most miserable person on the planet. I was not happy at all. The irony is, I thought I was having fun by having my own so-called liberty and my so-called freedom, but the irony was, there was no liberty, just bondage. And you will find yourself empty. You'll find yourself destitute of his mercy and his grace, and you're seduced by the inclinations of the culture and the world around you till you get on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. The way you get out of rebellion is repentance. You don't repent, you find yourself like Israel, second half of the verse, we continue. She would find herself destitute and dried up. Destitute and dried up. God says, okay, I'm going to send you a little barrenness, and I'm going to also let you walk through some bereavement. Yeah, you're going to have some barrenness going on, and you're going to have some bereavement. There'll be no conception. And if there is no conception, then you know there's no pregnancy. And if there is no pregnancy, then we know there is no birth. That's how it works, right? Nothing was conceived. And because nothing was conceived, then there can be no pregnancy and there can be no birth. Well, Israel's getting ready to visit that, not just in terms of their production of fertility as it relates to produce, but even having children. Israel will experience barrenness and bereavement. Verse 11, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. From the birth and from the womb and from conception. Now you've noticed, you've watched, you've witnessed a bird fly and land, and you've seen a bird take off. Well, all the blessing, all the favor, all the productivity, all the blessing from harvesting a good crop, everything that they receive, when all of a sudden the glory is gone, it's going to take off like a bird. Gone. Gone. That's another side of rebellion. Your vitality, your strength, your resources, your money, your relationships. Guess what happens? The blessing that was on you, gone. God will ask you to come back to him. Why, God? What was going on? Well, the price for participating in this Baal worship. How many of you guys know that God doesn't turn his head or wink over our sin? God is not, okay, I know you didn't mean it, so I'm just going to let you slide with that one. But that's the kind of God that people are trying to create today. He's a holy God, and he's consistent, and he's going to visit sin when he has to visit sin. You're participating with this Baal worship. Therefore, you're going to get the covenantal curses that I spelled out in Deuteronomy. You're going to get the judgment. And Ephraim is mentioned here in this passage. You see it in verse 11, verse 13, and verse 16. Because Ephraim, you know, that nation, that tribe of Israel, was a very fruitful, very productive, and they were blessed, and they grew in prosperity and reputation with goods and resources. Ephraim was a prominent nation. And that's why he identified Ephraim. Because she was associated with fertility and fruitfulness. In Hebrew, Ephraim, sometimes that word is defined as twice fruitful. So she had a double blessing on. But God says, Ephraim, your glory and all the children that you can have and all the blessings you got in your life is going to fly away like a bird. And this is appropriate because, again, you served Baal. You won against a holy God. And God continues to share with them, your women will miscarry and they will die. Those that are born will eventually die because of an invasion that's coming. And you can see that in Hosea. We see that in our text in the book of Hosea as well. And God gets very graphic about it. They won't be able to bear or feed their children. It would be very difficult for them. So again, they'll be barren and then they'll be moved into bereavement. Now, verse 14 is a very interesting prayer. And it's a lesson for all of us as Hosea is getting ready to pray. That's what you see in verse 14. The first part of this is that I believe he is praying in the flesh. Because he's angry. Anybody ever prayed angry before? I want you to hear the emotion. You need to see the emotion here. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Notice what he asked them for. Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. I don't think I ever heard that prayer in a prayer meeting before. I know I haven't heard people pray over there over the dinner table either. Oh Lord, turn this chicken into wormwood that we're going to eat today at the table. No, I don't hear any prayers like that. But here's what we have. He says, Give them, O Lord, what will you give? The idea I want you to entertain here is the idea that Hosea began a prayer angry against the people of God. Give it to them, God. Give them, O Lord. Then there had to be a place where he had to stop and check his heart. Because his heart was angry. What will you give? Miscarrying womb and dry breasts? No. What Hosea, maybe he's thinking, something to entertain, I'm going to pray for mercy that if there's no children born during those days, and if they do die, and if there's no children born, they won't have to suffer the judgment that's coming. Something to think about. He said, Lord, give them few children so these children don't have to face the horrors of your coming judgment. Here's the application. I want to talk to the super spiritual people in the house. There are times, and it could be accurate, that you perceive yourself as more spiritual than somebody else. You've done an assessment. But here's the thing. If you're preoccupied thinking about how more spiritual you are than somebody else, then you got a problem there. But there are sometimes in the body of Christ, we can say that there are people that are growing, and there are people that are close to God, there are people that are trying to get to God. There's different manifestations of investment in a relationship with Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. So if you are privileged and you're at the right place with God, and you happen to notice that everybody else is not on the same page consistently, be careful about your heart. Be careful about your attitude. You see, I'm a pastor, and it's a laudable thing that I want a revival here. I want spiritual, passionate people among the people in the body here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. I want you to be in love with God, but you know, I can't be fleshly with my fruit of frustration when I'm praying. How many of you guys know that pastors get frustrated sometimes? And I have to guard myself that if I'm frustrated, what kind of prayer am I praying to God? I have to make sure when I'm praying about the people, when I'm praying about Cornerstone, when I'm praying about my family, I got to make sure that this fleshly fruit of frustration is not just a representation or a time when I am prideful and I'm arrogant and I'm bitter and I'm upset with people. You see, pastor or congregate, you see what's going on in the body, and when the body's not doing what they're supposed to do, you get a little anxious, you get a little frustrated. In this case, some of you say, oh, you know what, I'm just done with church, and I'm just done with people. Be careful, because if we go there, guess who just got a victory? Satan. Don't give Satan any leverage in our congregation. Everybody say patience. Patience. Lord, give me patience. Double dose, triple dose. God, give me an ocean of your understanding and your sympathy and your sensitivity. Be careful. Don't give, and what you see Hosea, and rightly so, there's nothing wrong with righteous anger, but when that righteous anger turns fleshly, it's nothing but arrogant and proud. We must be careful of that, saints. Now, verses 15 through 17, God sends out some more dryness, and he declares a wandering nation. It reminds me when I wasn't saved, when I wasn't born again, just like you. What did the Bible say in the book of Isaiah? Well, all like sheep have gone astray. You remember those days? You were going astray, and you turned to do things your own way. This is my money. This is my time. Here are my resources. I will prioritize things this way. And like a wandering sheep, because you moved away from what is right, you moved away from what is true. I know a lot of us have had this journey. And you find yourself wandering like a gypsy, wandering like a vagabond, having no place to go when you're out there in the world. That's what the world would treat you with. And the irony is so many of our young people, even our adults, and as this crazy season in men's lives and women's lives, when they get around 40 or 50, they think, they call it midlife crisis. I don't know what they call it, but the issue is it's just carnality. It's like you turning your focus away from yourself, and you begin to wander, thinking that you missed out on something. You fix yourself on Facebook. Then you start to rekindle some old relationship. Why are you doing that? Don't run back to the world when things are difficult. Run to God. Run back to Him. Let Him give you some freshness. Oh, this is dead. This is fresh. This is not fresh. This is not boring. Let me tell you something. If you're having the right time with God, it's a party. Amen. It's a rich time. It's a loving time when you're with the Lord. How many of you guys know that? And if you think God is boring, guess what? You are too full of yourself. I've talked to many people. I heard that story, Pastor. Got anything fresh? I got my degree from such and such seminary. We walked through this, okay? It's the same old text. It's the same old word. Yes, living, power, fresh, and alive. Yes, it is. Don't have to tweak it, don't have to change it to make it accommodate some inclination that I have. I think I'm going to be like Jeremiah. I'm going to stay with the old path. God sends a dryness and he says, hey, let me tell you about their wickedness for a little bit again, verses 15 through 17. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Let's put that in a domestic understanding. Let's say you're in a relationship, and as a husband and wife relationship, and all of a sudden, because you're unfaithful to me as a spouse, and you left me alone, I'm kicking you out. Hit the door. Get the step in. That's what God is saying. You married me. You are my wife. You are my bride. But you got to go. I will love you no more. Oh, my goodness. But are you glad? Aren't you grateful that Jesus made a way for us, church? That we are on a new covenant, church. That we are on a new one of grace. That God says, oh, Lord, I'm glad you won't kick us to the curb because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. But this text is to remind us, don't take God for granted. Don't get complacent. Ephraim is smitten, and root is dried up, and they bear no fruit. Yes, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. You want to get lost in the world? Lose your Bible. Leave God. Forget who he is. Forsake the teaching. Abandon his influence. Don't allow his influence to grab your heart. And you would be wandering in the world, in the wilderness. God says, I'm going to judge her for what she's done to me. She's left me. She's abandoned me. There was a time when they were the apple of my eye. I was courting her in the wilderness. She was like luscious grapes to me. But now I no longer am enamored with her. I am angry with her. A sinful people will now face the object. We become the object of God's hatred rather than his love. And he highlights a specific location called Gilgal. Let me tell you about the history of Gilgal. He said, all that wickedness is in Gilgal. Here's what's interesting. At one time, Gilgal was a place where the prophets were produced, and the prophets was trained under Elijah and Elisha. Gilgal was like the God's seminary. Gilgal was a place where the men of God heard from God, and they taught the word of God, and it was just very productive in producing men and warriors and prophets of God. But now, Elijah's not here. Elisha's not here. You can look at it in 2 Kings chapter 2. In Hosea's day, it was no longer producing prophets. It had now become the headquarters for harlotry, or the center of idolatry. Isn't this interesting? Nothing new is under the sun, because I remember when Princeton and Yale and on the higher places of the United States, these higher places, institutions of learning, where they feared God. Remember that? That was a time when America feared God. And everybody would jump in a boat, risk their lives, front and take and go through the ocean, navigate through a perilous ocean just to set foot on American soil because God was blessing her. Now look what we've turned into. A place of not holiness, not respect for God. We take prayer out the schools, we redefine marriage, and there's a whole host of things that we do. We don't need God in our decisions. When we make decisions, we don't need him anymore. We don't even like the expression, one nation under God anymore today. God says, because you've done these things, I'm going to drive you from my house. I'm going to put you in exile. You are evicted because you've disgraced my house. You brought junk in my house. You brought pollution in my house. And now I got to get it all out. Application. Don't bring no pollution in your home. Do you hear me, church? Eliminate any ruling influence that's not of God in your home. Because here's what happens, just like in Solomon's heart, all those many women, and God warned him about all the, not getting a lot of wives, because they would drive his heart away from God. And I've learned in this setting, in a contemporary sense, that if I don't guard my heart and if you don't guard your heart, then what you are now enamored and preoccupied with will suppress the influence of God in your life. Did you hear me, church? Whatever it is, whatever activity, whatever habit, whatever you're preoccupied with, be careful of this influence. Don't let that influence encroach in your heart and take territory that it doesn't belong to. It doesn't belong to it. God's supposed to have how much of our heart? But when we do that, when we disgrace God, we disrespect God, God will evict, when we evict God's influence from our hearts, God will evict you from his house. What a word of caution for us this morning. I pray that this message will help you revisit what's going on in your heart.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Israel's Hostility Faces Some Holy Heat, Part 2. In today's program, Pastor gave us an important warning to guard our hearts from the influences of the world by staying connected with God. If we evict God's influence from our hearts, we will become separated from Him. We encourage you to protect yourself from the influences of the world by submitting yourself to the truth of the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit. Only then can you understand what it means to have a right relationship with God. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support the work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon, encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.